Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Alan Searcy. I'm still getting back into the swing of things, but I plan on churning these episodes out once a week. So last week, I dove into the Tony and Susan Alamo story and the ghost story in the old church on Music Row in Nashville. The story is pretty nuts, and I really get deep in the weeds with Alamos in my latest book, Southern Ghost Stories West Nashville. You should really check that one out. Today, we're going to stick around Middle Tennessee, but this time, we'll be heading about 20 miles south of Franklin, where one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War was fought. In late November 1864, Union General John Schofield and Confederate General John Bell Hood, they became entangled in a deadly game of cat and mouse through Columbia and Spring Hill, Tennessee. While Schofield was trying to get to Nashville to reinforce General George Thomas, Hood was hell-bent on smashing his Yankee rival and then moving on to retaking Nashville. After the Federal Army quietly rolled down the Columbia Turnpike in Spring Hill around midnight, General Hood awoke the next morning to find the Yanks had made their way into Franklin. Infuriated and fearing Schofield was going to beat him to the future Music City, General Hood ordered the Army of Tennessee to attack the entrenched Federals as the sun started to go down. After 5 hours of brutal combat, both sides saw over 10,000 casualties. The small town of 750 people suddenly had an influx of 7,500 wounded men that desperately needed medical attention. Homes, farms, churches, and businesses there on the square were quickly turned into makeshift hospitals for broken and bloody men clinging to life. No place in Franklin was safe from death and despair that night. One place that became a hospital that night after the battle was home of Robert H. Bradley. Mr. Bradley's home was located on Main Street towards the end of the square. In fact, when the armies marched into town, his home would have been one of the first places they would have seen when they reached downtown. And now, in an interesting side note to the Bradley family, Robert's father-in-law, Nicholas Bigby Perkins, was the Attorney General for the lower regions of the Mississippi Territory. He was the man responsible for arresting former Vice President Aaron Burr, who was suspected of plotting to seize territory in the Southwest to create a new independent republic. Burr is also the guy who killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel. But anyway, that's not important to our story. An hour or two after the Battle of Franklin, the Bradleys were at home when several bloody Union soldiers burst into their front door and set up camp in their front parlor. Like other structures in the area, it became a hospital where wounded men were tended to. The Bradley home was torn down in the early 20th century, and a doctor's office was built there for a local physician, Dr. Sam White. Unfortunately for Dr. White, he contracted an infection from a patient and died shortly after the building, which was named after him, was finally completed. Over the years, the White Building was renamed Five Points Place, and it's become converted to retail space. Today, it's home to several different businesses, including a mattress store, a boutique there for an eye doctor, and a Starbucks on the corner. While working on Southern Ghost Stories, Franklin, Tennessee, I'd heard that strange things happened at the coffee shop on the corner. When I stopped in one day and talked to one of the baristas, she informed me that occasionally cups and other items would fall off the counter, but it wasn't a common occurrence. However, she also mentioned that someone had come into the building a few years earlier to work on something. When they went downstairs, they saw what appeared to be a teenager wearing Civil War-era clothing. Curious about the young men in the basement, I walked next door to the eye doctor and spoke to them about what I'd heard. Ironically enough, they too had seen someone that their associate described as a bugle boy. Having gone two for two, I pressed my luck and went to the mattress store there next door. As luck would have it, they also had something going on in the basement, but the owner wasn't really sure what it was. But it wasn't just a young man in the basement that piqued my curiosity. While meeting with the owner of the mattress store, he showed me surveillance footage which had dozens of tiny orbs all flowing in one direction inside the store one night. Now, naturally, I dismissed what I thought it was just the air conditioner moving dust around. But the owner shut me down and informed me the air isn't on at night. After hearing all the strange things that happened in the old white building, I got permission to conduct a paranormal investigation in the eye doctor's office there on Main Street. At the beginning of the investigation, we started out in the basement where an associate had claimed to see an apparition that started to form right in front of her. I set up an EMF meter to measure electromagnetic energy along with a digital recorder. My friend Mark Walsh from Rutherford County Paranormal, he brought his geoport. Now, if you're not familiar with the geoport, it provides a sampling of white noise, which is believed to provide energy to the spirits, as well as sounds that they can use to communicate with us from the other side. Once we got set up, we tried to make contact by asking different questions. After 10 minutes or so, we were getting nothing. Frustrated with the lack of success, I took out my phone and I played the Battle Hymn of the Republic. If the spirit in the building was a soldier, maybe one of the Union fight songs would draw him out of the shadows. Now, almost immediately, as the song began playing, the EMF meter spiked all the way from green to red. But when I stopped playing the song, the EMF meter went back to green just as quickly as it had lit up. And we did this several times, and each time when the music played, the EMF meter, it lit up. We eventually made our way to the exam room where the eye doctor had felt someone pinch him and pull on his shirt. And like in the basement, as I played the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the EMF meter went nuts. As we conducted the investigation, I, along with Mark and some of the associates, stood in the exam room watching the EMF meter respond to the music. A lady who worked in the building said, "What's your name?" Right then, a booming voice came from the geoport that said, "Drake." Surprised at what she had heard, she then asked, "Did you say Blake or Drake?" Again, the voice responded, "Drake." To clarify what she had heard, the lady asked one last time, "Did you say Drake?" Almost immediately, the voice confirmed what it had previously said by saying yes. So after we picked our jaws up off the floor, we tried to ask a few questions, but we didn't get any audible responses from the geoport. We tried for several more minutes, but eventually we decided to call it a night. So in the following days, I really started to dig in on this mysterious Drake we had encountered in the old white building. The old Bradley home that originally was there on the property was a hospital for the Battle of Franklin. So could Drake have been someone who was injured and later died in the house from his wounds? The answer is yes. Thomas Jefferson Drake was a young man who served in Company D of the 97th Ohio Volunteer Infantry. He also died in the Battle of Franklin on November 30th, 1864, at the age of 21. Even stranger, Drake played the drums while his unit marched. So according to the employees at the coffee shop on the corner, they saw a teenager in the basement. An associate at the eye doctor, they said they saw a bugle boy in their shop too. Could a baby-faced 21-year-old Thomas Jefferson Drake fit both those descriptions? I believe so. What really ties all this together for me is Thomas Jefferson Drake's love of music. As a drummer, he certainly would have played the Battle Hymn of the Republic quite often while marching. Had his spirit been hanging around Five Points Place for over 150 years, surely that young man would have been intrigued when I started to play the song during the investigation. That might explain the sudden spike on the EMF meter while the music was playing, as well as no activity when I turned the song off. If you'd like to learn more about the ghost in Franklin, Tennessee, and believe me, there's a bunch of them, check out Southern Ghost Stories Franklin, Tennessee. Lots of cool, creepy ghost stories from Franklin. Well, thank you for tuning in, and be sure to subscribe and like the show. Those 5-star reviews are so helpful. And also, check out the Southern Ghost Stories YouTube page, We have some pretty cool stuff over there, too. And lastly, check out the Southern Ghost Stories books at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you go to your local Barnes & Noble and you don't see the books, talk to a manager. They can order them for you. So next week, I'll be back to talk to you about the Galt House in Louisville, Kentucky. How do single cavemen get a woman?
I don't know how.
They go clubbing.
Oh, that was a good one.